If you would, please take your hymn books and join me at page 127. Page 127, stand with me if you're able, and let's lift our voices as we sing, Jesus Loves Even Me. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love and third verse of 127, on the last verse. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Father, we thank you so much that you do love us. You loved us to the point of the cross. Lord, where you suffered and died, where you, after that, you were born, raised again. And Lord, we thank you that you are risen and sitting on the right hand of God the Father. Lord, we thank you tonight that we can come before you as a body of believers and worship and sing praises to you. But not only that, Lord, we thankful that we get to sit under good, sound doctrinal preaching and to hear from the Word of God. Yes. Lord, we ask your blessing on our evening tonight and be with our pastor in the only way that you can. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good evening. Welcome to our evening service. Good to have you with us. Good to have new ones and visitors. We really appreciate you coming. A few announcements here this evening. As you can see, we're going to have the Lord's Supper at the close of the evening service. And the offering that we're going to receive is going to go to missionary John McLennan, and he's in Scotland. Missionary in August, Wednesday, August 27th, missionary Jason Wingingle will share his burden for reaching the U.S. military in South Korea in the Wednesday evening service. Fifth Sunday Fellowship. All right, we're going to have a big dinner on Sunday, August, whatever it is, 31st. Last Sunday in August, anyway. August the 31st. We're going to have dinner on, they say dinner on the grounds, but it really isn't on the ground. It's on the table. That's right. Okay. And then following the dinner, we're going to have a early evening service somewhere around 1:15, and then that'll be our evening service. Silver Sisters will meet at Shady Green Campground on August the 21st, 12:30 p.m. Bring a sack lunch and a lawn chair. Water and dessert is provided. 2025 directory file. The file needs some updating. If you have any changes and your information would like to update in the file, please see Brenda Rhodes. A new directory will not be printed at this time. Okay, and Wednesday, Bible study and prayer service at 7 p.m. Kids Alive at 6:45. August 21st, pastor and deacons meeting at 6:30 p.m. All right, the ushers will come forward. We'll wait on you for our evening offering. All right, Boaz, would you lead us in prayer tonight, please?
Lives for you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dee Dee, for that offertory this evening. Was that there as a balm in Gilead? I thought so. All right. If you would, now before Pastor comes, let's turn to page number 627. Page 627, stand with me if you're able, and let's sing this song. We'll sing all of it. Amen.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
One more time.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Are you thankful for the Lord tonight?
Yes.
The sweetest name, he is the sweetest name. I know, yeah, I enjoyed that organ music. Thank you again for that. When I was a kid, somebody gave our family an organ. Remember the old organs from the 70s and 80s? They had like flute, brass, trumpet, and then you had the marimbas, and you had the Hawaiian, and you had the rock one, rock two. And I just enjoyed playing on that thing. I wish I could play it. Like Dee Dee or other folks who know how to do it, because it's a blessing to hear and a blessing to have. You know, an organ is a blessing to have, and I'm thankful for those that use it as we sing together in church. Let's take our bulletin. Let's take our bulletin and look at our verse for the month of August now. Wow. Here we go. And there on the left-hand side, as you open your bulletin, are the verses that we're going to go through for this month. And whether you say Habakkuk or Habakkuk, however you want to say it, I don't know if any of us say it correctly in the Hebrew tongue, but I say Habakkuk. However, we're going to say the reference first together, please, and then the verses. So let's do that together. Habakkuk 3 there. Habakkuk 3, 1 and 2, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Let's go ahead and one more time. Habakkuk 3, 1 and 2. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. All right, praise the Lord. Let's put that aside. August is a good time to ask God to revive your heart, revive your life. As we late into late summer and looking into fall and all that, how many have seen some leaves fall from the trees already? We don't want to talk too much about it, but it's there, and thankful for the opportunity to renew time with God. Let's go ahead and look in the Bible. Would you like to go through a meadow with me tonight? Let's look at the Psalms. That's probably not necessarily the most well-known verses in the Bible. I think there's some others that people know about, but I think it's safe to say the most well-known chapter in the Bible. And what do you think that would be? Psalm 23. Let's go there. Psalm 23. And if you have spent time in church most of your life, you have not only heard this, but perhaps been encouraged to memorize it. And if you have it memorized, it's a blessing to consider at times as well. But let's go ahead if you want to read and or say it out loud, whatever. But let's read it together, shall we? We'll read the whole psalm starting with verse 1. Let's begin with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now something in the house of the Lord forever. Something interesting that, you know, as you read scripture, whether you've read it once or 100 times, ask the Lord to show you new things. Ask the Lord to show you new things. And something interesting as I was preparing for tonight is this. If you have at the top of your each psalm, most of them, not all of them, but most of them, have a title to them. You see where that is? It's before verse 1, and it's usually between the verse and the chapter that's notated on the page. And what is the title that this psalm has in your Bible? A Psalm of David. Nothing special. Isn't that interesting? When God inspired him to write this, whether David knew it would be one of the most comforting passages in Scripture or not, to him it was just simply God's word and sharing with people what the Lord laid on his heart. I thought that was interesting, that it just simply says a Psalm of David. We often call it the Shepherd Psalm, because he talks about the Lord being the shepherd. John chapter 10, let's go there as well. John chapter 10, we're going to go there later on as well, but let's take a look at verse number 11 in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse number 11 is what I'd like for us to read together, please. Would you read that with me also, please? Verse number 11, let's go ahead. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about the Lord. And if we go back to Psalms 1, we see that the Lord there is referring to Yahweh, Jehovah God, the self-existent God. In the New Testament, Jesus gives us a little more detail. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the shepherd. I'm the Savior, the good shepherd, the God who cares for you. And the Bible tells us, you and I, if you know Christ as your Savior tonight, if you can confidently say, I was lost, but now I'm found by my good shepherd, then tonight you have comfort from God's word, and I trust what we look at will be even more comfort for you. Some of us need that comfort tonight. There's some things going on in life. It's been an interesting year for a lot of us, and we need God's help. Some of you know my wife's dad. He's gone through some health scares recently. We're going to go see him tomorrow. Appreciate your prayers with us about that. But everyone could use some comfort every now and then. And this psalm, though it offers some great comfort, I'm not so convinced that it was only written for that. That's why I say it's simply God's word continuing to help us along the way. So we want to look at this tonight, a Psalm of David. That's really the title, a Psalm of David. Simple and yet, Lord willing, helpful to us. Let's go ahead and ask God's help. Would you bow with me? And then I'll pray. Lord, we thank you for this psalm. It's such a meaningful and personal in so many ways for us. And yet, Lord, help us to see it as part of the fabric of your word. It is part of the completed word of God. And though it has some personal things that can help us, we need to consider all of your word tonight, even as we look in Psalm 23. But I pray, Father, that for hearts that need your help, need some of that balm from Gilead, Lord, or just a healing in hurts, Lord, I pray tonight would be a help as we look through this psalm. Please be with me. Pray your Holy Spirit would fill me as we share your truth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. a psalm of David. Let's share some thoughts about the shepherd, our shepherd. If you know Christ as your Savior, that's the way I'm going to refer to him, our shepherd. So if you know the Lord, he is your shepherd. He is your shepherd. Number one, our shepherd is personal. Personal. Notice what he says here in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He says he's my shepherd, and he doesn't say that he can't be anybody else's, but that's how he refers to him to start with. Our shepherd knows us, and we know him. The Lord is my shepherd. If you know the Lord tonight as your Savior, God says Jesus is that shepherd, that personal shepherd for you who guides and cares and leads and comes after when we need his help. Our shepherd knows us and we know him. If you're in Psalms, go to chapter 100 here. Verse number 3 is what we want to look at. Psalms 100. Here the Bible tells us, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God desires us to remember that, first of all, we're the sheep, not him. He's the shepherd, not us. But if we know Christ, we have a solid shepherd and constant shepherd with us. Verse number 2, if we go back to Psalms 23, says this, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Our shepherd knows how to sustain us, how to care for us. He knows how to take care of us. He restoreth my soul, verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Christ's provisions are filling as well as comforting. Christ's provisions are filling as well as comforting. He provides salvation. He provides a friend. He provides a way to talk to God and get prayers answered. Amen. He provides so many things. Salvation, a home in heaven, all those things. But what he provides also comforts. Also comforts. I'll give you an example. When I was young, we lived out west. We had some horses. We'd had a couple of them. And my job was to help make sure they had water and hay and things like that. That's what kids do, right? And in our pasture, which wasn't enormous, it was maybe a couple acres, in the tall grass that grew inside the pasture, that provided some food. He needed to have some hay and other things. But it also provided a bed for the horse to lay down on. Now you might say, well, horses sleep standing up. They sleep laying down too. They do both. But it was a soft bed as well as a place to be sustained with by food. Does that make sense? Comfort as well as provision. When God provides for you, his provision is not necessarily to make you feel like you can't be filled by him. In fact, whether it's good times or bad, his desire is to fill your soul with his comfort and his grace, the things he provides. Matter of fact, you can take part of that even before the day's over. How about the Word of God? Have you sat down today and read the Word of God without the rest of us? Without the rest of us. How about prayer? How about talking to your Heavenly Father and your Shepherd and seeking your Holy Spirit's guidance without the rest of us? Sometimes the congregation is a great help and comfort. Hey, praise the Lord, we have brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. When you go through difficult times, you should be able to grab somebody, anybody in this room, and say, would you pray with me? Would you pray with me? Here's the situation. Would you pray with me? That's what we're here to do. Amen. Yes. We're here to help and encourage, edify, and also exhort. The Bible says exhort one another daily as you see the day approaching. And just simple, dedicated time to serve the Lord. Christ's provisions are filling and comforting. And Christ guides us through all storms. Christ guides us through all storms. When I think of a storm, the worst I can think of is in Matthew 14. Let's go there. And an example of Jesus taking care of it. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to look at this together. So I'm going to need your help. If we can read responsively, it means I'll read verse 24. You read verse 25. We'll go back and forth in Matthew 14. And verse 32 will be the last verse we'll look at here in Matthew 24. So, or 14, excuse me, Matthew 14. I'm going to start verse number 24. Again, if you would read responsively, verse 32 will be where we stop. The Bible says in verse 24, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me."
And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?"
When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. I can't think of a better place in Scripture where we see the shepherd and we see the sheep. Can you? The shepherd and the sheep. Jesus was there. What's interesting is, as the storm, at least here in Matthew 14, the storm came violently down, apparently, on the ship. But what was it that they were scared of? They thought he was, there's a ghost, it's Jesus. That can't be him. It's got to be some spirit out there. And Jesus said, "No, don't be afraid of that. It's just me." And it's when Peter stepped out of the boat, is when he tried to trust in the Lord, and he did, for a moment. You know, we seem to forget that Peter did walk on the water a few steps. Sometimes we get on him, and the fact of the matter is he did what none of us have ever done. But praise the Lord, that even though he began to cry out and he was afraid, the Bible says Jesus reached out and grabbed him, saved him. But notice what he said, "O thou of little faith," what's the next phrase? "Wherefore didst thou doubt?" Wherefore didst thou doubt? Did you think I was going to let you just sink like that? I'm right here. I'm your shepherd. I'm going to care for you. Christ guides us through the storm. And then the Bible goes on to say they went onto the shore and the storm ceased. If we go back to Psalms, we see in Psalms chapter 3 and verse 3, this verse, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head." Christ guides us through the storm. How long does the storm last? Well, we don't always know the answer to that. But we can say with certainty, that however long it's going to be, Jesus is going to be right there with us. And we want to be by his side, amen? We want to be with him through the whole thing. He's personal. He's my shepherd. Number two, let's go back, Psalm 23. Verse 4, "Our shepherd is powerful." Our shepherd is powerful. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Our shepherd is powerful. Hardships are unavoidable in the present. Why does a shepherd carry a rod and a staff? Well, two reasons. Number one, he knows there's going to be attacks on the sheep. A rod is like what we would call a club. It would have been probably a very thick stick that the shepherd could tie around maybe the side of his clothing and so forth. He would carry that around, and then he would hold the staff. But the thick stick wasn't always needed, but it needed always to be there, because attackers are out there, the wolves. The Bible tells us David met up with what? A bear, a lion, other beasts and so forth. So he understood that attackers are out there. The world is always ready to attack. The world's not your friend, folks. How many knew that? The world is not our friend and will never be. The Bible says the flesh is always ready to attack, our own flesh. The Bible tells us that the flesh is working against the Spirit consistently, constantly. If I try to fill my flesh, I am not going to be walking with God no matter what I want. And the Bible tells us there are the Satan himself is working against you. Satan himself is, he is never your friend. I remember he tried to smooth over Adam and Eve. Eve especially is where we'd see the conversation there. And in her understanding, she tried to stand against him. I believe she tried. But the Bible tells us, at least gives us the idea that she came up with some things that she thought were true, but she had not heard from God's mouth. The Bible tells us Satan, the world, and our own flesh are our enemies. But Jesus Christ is powerful enough to overcome them all. Amen. All of them. God's protection is available, and here's the thought, as we walk by him. Again, that rod, it's to fight off attackers, and it was also used to count the sheep. So when they would bring them into the fold, or they had to know how many were there, make sure nobody's lost, he would tap the top of the sheep and so forth with that particular club. So it could be used as a means of defense, but also a means of just knowing where's everybody. They're all here, they're not here. It was used as a club as well. Let's see this in action in John chapter 10. We started there, let's go there again. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And let's see. Let me start with verse number 7. Verse number 7. That's where we find Jesus introducing this thought about the sheep and the shepherd. Verse number 7 says this. Then said Jesus unto them, again, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. If you go to chapter 16, we see again Jesus speaking of himself in the same way as a door, a protector, I should say, of the sheep. Verse number 33. Verse number 33. Well, let me start with verse 32. This gives us an idea of where he was at. This was right near the end of his time with his disciples before going to the cross. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come. I'm in verse 32. That ye shall be scattered, every man to his own. And he shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Did you know that's still true today? Jesus still has overcome the things of this world, and he wants us to know we can trust in him. His protection is available as we walk by him. Notice the phrase, we need to abide with him. John 15, 16, 17 talks about abiding in the Lord. The rod and the staff. Let's go ahead and talk about that. The staff, does somebody need to do something? I hear something beeping. It could be a medical situation. I don't know. If that's the case, you might want to take a look at that. I don't mind if it beeps a few times, but if it beeps the rest of the night, I want to not do that. So, okay. Or if it's somebody calling, I'll talk to him. Let him know. Wait a few minutes. He'll be back. The rod. All right, let's go back to Psalm 23. Thank you. The rod, that fights off attackers and counts the sheep. The staff guides and is a picture of the loving kindness of the Lord. Again, Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod fights off the attackers, and thy staff leads me the rest of the way in a loving way. Thy staff comfort me. They comfort me. Shepherd's staff is what we traditionally think of, you know, when you see the Christmas programs, the hook there. Somehow it would have a way to grab the sheep, whether it was, you know, completely hooked like we often consider it, or just part of the way, but it would be something where they could reach out fairly long, maybe 5 to 6 feet long, that they could reach out and quickly pull a sheep back into the fold. It was usually of a sturdy piece of wood with that crook end on the end, and it was used to keep them going the right direction. God says, part of that for you and me is this book right here, amen? Yeah. This book right here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, what God shared with his people Israel is still true for us today. He says this, these words, speaking of the law that he gave them, the word of God, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You speak of the things of God like that? It's okay to speak of other things, but sometime during the day, we need to speak of the things of God and see what we're learning together, or what we're not learning together. That might be even more helpful is as we go along. Matthew chapter 18, would you go there please? Matthew 18. Again, the guidance and kindness of our Savior. We see it here in Matthew 18 as well. And we're going to look at verse number 12, of Matthew 18. Look at there, verse number 12 with me, please. Well, let me start. Verse number 10, that's where it starts. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, referring to young children, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, verse 12, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Find it interesting in verse number 12, it says, doth he not leave the 99? Whoa. What's the difference between the 99 and the one that went away? One's lost and the other knows this is what the shepherd wants. This is the place where I'm safe with him. I'm going to stay here. Now, sheep aren't the smartest things in the world, and we're going to hear about that in just a minute. But they can learn too, apparently. Can't you? The Bible calls us sheep. And praise the Lord, we can learn too. But he says it's the ones that will stay, the 99 that stay is the ones he leaves to go find the one who's gone astray. A picture of his great love and kindness to you and me. Aren't you thankful for Jesus coming after you sometimes? Yeah. Not leaving you. Maybe the location not necessarily is so different, but sometimes the heart goes astray. When the heart goes astray, Jesus, who loves us, he's after us. He's after us. He uses the Holy Spirit as well, others in our life by God's grace, but certainly he cares for us. Our shepherd is powerful. He's powerful. Number three, let's go back to Psalms and take a look at verse 5 and 6 of verse chapter 23. He's personal. He's powerful. And he's in the present. He's in the present. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thou preparest a table before me. He's doing that, as David said, he's doing that now. It's a way he cares for me, but he's putting something there before me, but not in the presence of my friends. You ever wondered why would God do that? Why would God prepare a table before the presence of your enemies? Who is it that you need to lean on when you're in the presence of your enemies? Not me, not you. You need to lean on God. And he's present all the time. He says in verse number 6, verse 5, my cup runneth over, meaning it's a continual thing. God continues to fill what I need from him. Jesus keeps perfect attendance with the Christian. He's never absent. He's never absent. Here's what it says in Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never what? Leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what he said. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The fruitful Christian, he keeps perfect attendance with Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 15. The fruitful Christian keeps attendance with Jesus. This is an interesting verse. John chapter 15, take a look. And verse number 5 is the verse we want to hone in on. But let me start with verse 4 because they go together. Verse number 4. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. So here he says, we'll stop for a second. He says, abide in me because a vine that's not with me or one that's not close to me that I'm dwelling with is not capable of bearing fruit. Things aren't going to get better. Things aren't going to increase, etc., in a spiritual sense as well. You need to stay with me because that's how a vine increases, by being near Jesus. But how does it increase? Take a look at verse number 5. This is interesting. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same, if he does everything I say and he follows all this and he, is that what it's saying? The same who abides in Jesus and he abides with him. It's automatic. Look at what it says. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Nothing. Hey, friends, praise the Lord. There are many ways to consider that God teaches us how to live the Christian life, and I'm all for them. But here's the main one that none of them matter without this, is if we don't abide with Jesus, there's not going to be fruit. If we don't stick close to Christ, there's not going to be fruit. Because you can't have the fruit without Jesus. Does that make sense? That's what he says. That's not what I say. That's what he says. And in order to get the fruit, he says, all you got to do is stick with me. Stick with me. You know, sometimes they say things rub off each other. How many of you ever heard that before? Birds of a feather. Yeah, something like that. Well, Jesus says, you need to be with me. You want to be fruitful in your Christian life. You want to have the joy that I have waiting for you. Then stick with me. Stick with me. Jesus Christ, the fruitful Christian, keeps perfect attendance with him. And then, of course, the final thought. If we go back to Psalms, we see it very clearly there in verse number 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21 says this. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Hey, praise the Lord, we've got heaven to look forward to. But until then, We've got a life to live in Jesus Christ right here. A life that is pleasing to God. A life that is fulfilling. In fact, the Bible says overflowing in God as we stick close to our shepherd. Maybe you've heard of this man, W. Philip Keller. Have you ever heard of him? Have you ever heard of a book called The Shepherd Psalm that is written by a rancher, a sheep rancher? He wrote several books, apparently, but this is the most famous one. He's with the Lord now. He's long gone. But he was a son of a missionary. And as he was growing up, he sensed God's call into missions, but life took different turns, and he decided to follow life instead of the Lord. And he became a very successful, in fact, a world-renowned sheep rancher, which included what kind of soil and things to plant in order for pastures to be the most fruitful for the sheep, etc. Very interesting life. But he wrote this later on after he turned back to the Lord. His wife passed away. He became a widower and married again another lady who apparently was a godly lady and helped him draw closer to Christ. And his focus was back on the Lord, and he eventually did go back to Africa, where God felt called to do, and helped share the gospel there as well later on in his life. But this is what he wrote in his book, The Shepherd's Psalm. Sheep require more attention than any other livestock. They just can't take care of themselves. Unless their shepherd makes them move on, sheep will actually ruin a pasture, eating every blade of grass, until finally a fertile pasture is nothing but barren soil. Sheep are nearsighted and very stubborn, but easily frightened. An entire flock could be stampeded by a small jackrabbit. They have little means of defense. They're timid, feeble creatures. Their only recourse is to run if no shepherd is there to protect them. Sheep have no homing instincts. A dog, a horse, a cat, or a bird can find its way home, but when a sheep gets lost, it's a goner unless someone rescues it. The overriding principle of Psalm 23, he writes, is that sheep can't make it without a shepherd. Yeah. And folks, let's look to our shepherd tonight. Amen. We've sung about it. We've heard music about it. We're going to focus on the Lord here in just a moment with the Lord's table. But remember, we have a shepherd. Some things we think and learn from a simple psalm of David. Heavenly Father, help us to remember who you are. And Lord, perhaps there's things in life we simply need to give over to you. As sheep of the great shepherd, Lord, I pray help us to see what you see in our life. As you deserve it all, and you can help us even today. Now I pray, God, as we look ahead, pray your work in our hearts, Lord, would be real and genuine with us right now, that the Holy Spirit would have his voice clear to our life, and may you get the things that you deserve and want out of us. Perhaps there's some that need saving, Lord, that are listening tonight or even today, have been with us earlier. I pray, God, for salvation in those lives. As a Christian, Lord, we need to look to the shepherd. I pray tonight we would make that commitment, even real tonight, with you, that we would look to Jesus. We can't see fruit in our life when we choose to do anything different. I pray for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. We won't have a formal invitation. Thank you. I don't know what it is today, but words are right there on the tip of my tongue, but I can't get them out, so thank you. We don't have a formal invitation tonight, but as we take time to look at the Lord's table, maybe some of those things that God's laid on your heart you can talk to him about. Take a moment, speak to him about it, and let the Lord lead as we go to his table. So we're going to go ahead and sing tonight, number 111. 111.